continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. Hope everybody out there is doing okay this morning. It is September 11th. It is the 15th September 11th, if you would. And sitting around, been thinking about it the last couple of days. I cannot believe that it has been 15 years. I don't know where it goes. And watching, of course, all the documentaries that they put out and the memorial stuff and everything about 9/11. And I was wondering how many people is it still very real to? Almost like it just happened yesterday. Because it is to me. Anyways, we'll probably talk about that a little bit, but that's not what we're going to focus on. This is Red Smith, Jefferson State of Mind. And here, as always, with Wynn Carpenter. How goes it?
So far, so good. Good morning.
Good. How are you doing this morning?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Just remembering, like you said, those of 9/11.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I kind of wonder if it ever goes away. You know, the just still being able to watch it and everything and see it and... You know, and it was nice seeing some of the pictures this morning. Every year, Reading does a big ceremony up under the big flag. And mm-hmm. even 15 years later, seeing how many people are still there and yep. the flag's out, and that people remember, that helps.
And it does. Well, and, you know, it keeps people, hopefully, keeping people to remember it, but also understanding why we have to remember it
yeah.
and taking action on things so that we don't repeat that horrible situation again in any way. Within our borders.
Yeah. It needs to be stopped.
Absolutely.
And it is. It's. And you look back. I mean, if you wanted to pick, I think, one point in time when everything changed in this country, I think that was the day.
That was it, yeah.
And I don't think people knew it. I don't think people knew the change that it would bring about, the change of the mentality, the change of our government, the change of everything.
The gravity of it.
Yeah, and how different the world has become. Because I think you could look at 2001 and look back 15 years and go, yeah, the country's changed a little bit, you know, but it'd be, you know, you'd be thinking about technology-wise, and I don't think there was massive change from 15 years before 2001 like there's been massive change since 2001.
Well, the one thing, I mean, for travelers... It's changed. Is that, you know, TSA and their way of operation, or what they do, or what they have done to people, and even within that, what they've done to the citizens of the country
yeah.
that don't need to be dealt with the way they deal with them, you know.
But one of the things that I think that came out of 9/11 that was a gift to us is the spirit of 9/11, the spirit in the country,
yes,
and the way that everybody put everything down, everything aside, mm-hmm. and came together and worked together. where did we lose that?
Where did that go? Yeah.
Where what happened to where we are now? We are, you know, we're divided and tearing at each other. We're ready to choke the life out of each other over certain issues and certain things that are going on. And we've become ideologues, and we've become so frustrated and angry to the point that, you know, a lot of us can't even have communication about it with family members, friends, things like that. How did we go from there to here?
I know. It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost a generation that this occurred.
Yeah.
So we have all those people that were, you know, either just born at that time, because my daughter was born August 18th of 2001.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks later, 9/11 occurred. So, you know, she understands it because we talk about it.
Yeah.
We talk about it. I mean, she doesn't understand the feel of it or what it really meant to adults, people that are really aware of what's going on in the world. Yeah. But she understands it as a child. She understood it, you know, and we talk about it so that it will never be forgotten within our household.
Well, that's, you know, my family always brought up Pearl Harbor Day on December 7th and things like that. And, you know, I'm aware of it. I understand. Being a history nerd, I know Pearl Harbor pretty well, but it was never real to me the way that 9/11 was real.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of younger people now, it's not that real to them. You know, it's, you know, even somebody that's 21 years old, they were six.
Yeah.
You know, the quote unquote millennials, they don't. I don't remember it.
My son was four when it happened. So, you know, it's the same thing. We, you know, we talk about it so that they get it. And you know, it's frustrating that you have to do that so that they understand it. But at the same time, it was my responsibility as their parent to make sure that they do understand it and that we have those discussions. And hopefully they will be aware of it when people talk about it so it doesn't just get swept under the rug.
Exactly. And that's, you know, when they use things to try and divide, when, you know, people you're in my age and right around that generation that vividly remember 9/11, and we look at, you know, the wave of Muslim refugees and Islamic refugees and things like that, we have a natural instinct of, whoa.
Yep.
They don't.
Right.
Because they don't remember 9/11. They don't remember what happened. And for the last 15 years, they've heard the programming of Islam is not evil, Islam is not evil, Islam is not your enemy. And that's why there's this attitude. And I've actually seen some teenagers that when they see footage of 9/11, they just go, oh my God, that's what happened. You know, it wasn't a couple of buildings that fell down. You know, it was a horrible day. That changed everything. You know, watching the people jump out of the buildings.
Right.
You know, the firefighters going in that never came out. You know, it was a horrible incident in a different way that it was live.
Right.
On TV for the world to see. And I don't know. Just one of those things. And like I said, I didn't want to get caught up in the whole 9/11 thing. We do have State of Jefferson stuff to discuss. Actually, we got Mark Baird on the phone. You there, Mark?
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you guys doing today?
So far, so good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Hey, I wanted to add a little bit to your 9/11 discussion. I was flying that day. I was flying up the eastern seaboard in a DC-10. And the air traffic controller told me, turn left, descend for an approach to Atlanta. And I said, well, I don't want to go to Atlanta. I'm going to Germany. And they said, well, you have to go to Atlanta because U.S. airspace is closed. So we landed in Atlanta, and there were thousands of airplanes parked there. You couldn't even park near a building. We parked way out in the North 40 and walked to a building. And that's when we saw it on TV. But I don't want to dwell on the negative of it because I think there's a more important chapter that we could, or more important lesson we could take from that, and that's the positive, that tens of thousands of Americans rallied around, rediscovered God, found their roots in liberty, and we gathered ourselves together and defeated an enemy that day. And ever since then, the presidents of the United States have been trying to undo the good that was done that day. And I'm not saying everyone was right and that Bush was a perfect president. I couldn't care less about that. It's water under the bridge. But what I am saying is our capability of, as Americans, to rally around what is good and right is unlimited. The Japanese learned that in 1942, and the Germans learned it, and the Italians learned it, and we've taught many of our enemies that lesson, that when you awake the sleeping giant, you fill him with a terrible resolve, I believe is what Yamamoto said that day to the Japanese high command after Pearl Harbor was bombed. And so what we need to do is rediscover that spirit of liberty again. And I wanted to ask you guys, do any of you know what happened on September 9th? And that's why people were flying the flags on September 9th. Do either of you guys know?
I do not.
That is when California joined the Union, September 9th, 1850.
Uh-huh.
And that should fill us with a terrible resolve, because the state of California is actively engaged in stealing what very little liberty they have allowed the people of California to retain. And we can fix that with the state of Jefferson, and we need to rally around the double X, and we need to make a state that has liberty and justice for all of the people who live within it, not as Gavin Newsom, our future governor-elect, would like to see, where you have no Second Amendment, you have no freedom of choice, and not as our Governor Brown would like to see, where children in school are being taught that 9/11 was America's fault through some inactivity or some inattention to enough minority group or something, and we caused this ourselves. The U.S. education system is on track, I just read an article about this the other day, to teach young Americans that 9/11 was our own fault. And I hate the idea of that, and I won't sit still for it. And I think in the state of Jefferson, truth needs to rule the day.
Yes,
and
it does.
I think liberty needs to rule the day. And I think choice for the people of Jefferson, true choice, where the government does not tell you what you want, what you need, how to get it, how much to get, how much it's going to cost you. You know, we don't need to be spoon-fed like babies. We need liberty. And that's what we're capable of achieving in the state of Jefferson. And so I think that September the 9th should be a rallying cry for us to undo the damage that has been done by progressives to our state and take a state of our own. Let's literally get up out of our chairs, raise the money, get the signatures, put the public pressure on Sacramento, and let us take our state for liberty.
Amen.
That's all I had to tell you guys this morning. You're doing a great job.
Well, great information, and I like to know the history there. That was great.
All right, see you later.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. You know, and that's like we were talking about a little bit earlier, is what did happen to that spirit of America?
Yeah.
You know, because Mark is absolutely right. People took out their Bibles for the first time in a long time. They rediscovered family. We rediscovered who we were as a nation for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then it winked out. I don't know that we can, I don't know where to put my finger on it, where it happened. And this great divide started in this country that's tearing us apart. And we need to put that away. We need to recapture that spirit. But one of the things that was a gift of 9/11, I believe, was the Patriot movement that was born out of 9/11. People started to look towards their government again. They started to pay attention again. They started to look at the things that were going on. They started to, in a very, you know, embryonic state, started looking around and going, hey, things aren't right here. Things aren't being done correctly. Things aren't being right. And they started looking, and now it's evolved into things like the State of Jefferson movement and different movements across the country to really retake our country and restore it to what it is.
Right.
And what it's supposed to be, because they were able to see, and that came out of direct engagement and direct patriotism and direct love of country that stemmed from, you know, 9/11. there was a lot of people that are engaged and knowledgeable and doing the things that they need to do now because of that event that weren't before that.
Sure. Yeah. Yep,
you're right. And I think there's another awakening coming in this country. You can kind of feel it, but it's not one born out of love of country and love of neighbor. It's an awakening that's kind of being born out of frustration and anger.
So do you think that frustration and anger is going to be used in a positive manner, or is it going to be to the negative?
I can't speak for anybody else. I believe it's being used in an extremely positive manner in the state of Jefferson.
Okay.
I think the state of Jefferson is... How can it be more positive than people taking direct control of their government and amicably separating and forming something that will work for them, their freedom, their liberty, and their children? I don't think you can get much more positive than that.
True. Very true.
And
inclusive.
The people that are opposed to it, that, you know, quote unquote, we won't let you go.
Yeah.
Are the ones that are acting with aggression and hatred and things like that. But there's, and I don't know, I'm having kind of a hard time getting to the point that I'm trying to make, is I feel this awakening coming in this country, and I just hope that there's people like yourself and Mark Baird and people like that in other places to direct that and to culture that frustration into a positive energy like the state of Jefferson, and it doesn't become something ugly and negative.
Yes, I agree.
With that, we are well past our first break, and we probably better get on to that. We were actually planning on talking about California's propositions today, but
we can do that.
It being 9/11, it is what it is. So we'll see you on the other side.
That California was never supposed to be just one state. Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, and I hope everybody's doing good out there. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we'll get that sorted out. So, we were going to discuss the some of the propositions that are coming in California, the numerous propositions that are on the ballot. No, wait, they're off the ballot. No, wait, they're back on the ballot. Oh, wait, our legislature passed them. Now they shouldn't be on the ballot. Oh, wait, now they have to be on the ballot. So we got a lot going on, especially gun laws, marijuana legalization, health care, education bonds, and Accountability Act. Yeah. How far do you think that one's going to make it?
Now, who's that for? Is that for them? Or is that for us?
It's for the conditions under which a legislative bill can be passed. I think we better read the fine print on that one.
Yeah, and how much pork's got added to it and everything else.
Yeah, or if they can do things like pass the law and then write what's in it.
Yeah.
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 So, one of the ones that is a big one is Prop 50. It requires 2/3 majority to suspend a state legislature. Sounds like a good deal to begin with, yeah.
Okay, what's the twist?
Well, if you have 2/3 of a majority, you can suspend whoever you want.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a quote-unquote supermajority, which the Democrats in California, I still can't even call them Democrats. They're not worthy of the title of Democrat. The communist progressives in Sacramento would have the authority to kick out any kind of opposition that they had. You know, drum up any kind of little measure or any little reason, and they'd be able to vote and boot anybody.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they're going to boot people out, but the constituents who vote those people in don't have a say.
Now you're starting to see it.
So lack of representation.
Yeah, lack
once
of
again.
Yeah, actually, that would be your lack of representation able to be taken out by somebody else's representation.
Correct.
And yeah.
Yeah, that gets really messy.
You know, and then we've got another $9 billion in bonds for education and schools. That's on the ballot. How come in every election cycle we have to have bonds for schools? And every time they're like, oh, this is it. I swear, this is the last one that we need to fund our schools. Why is it that they always hit the schools, the prisons, and policemen and firemen first? Because if they really told you what was coming out of the budget for what, you wouldn't vote for it.
Yeah.
But because it's for kids and firemen and fire people and prison guards, yeah, we'll go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so then, if they're pulling that kind of garbage, how do we, as the everyday Joe citizen, sit down and go through all of these pieces of legislation that they're throwing out there so that we understand it, so that we can vote accordingly?
Well, and again,
short of spending hours or days and not even have enough time to go through all that stuff.
Well, the one of the problems is too, is the, you know, the little blurb that the Secretary of State puts together and puts on there. Oh, a yes vote means this.
Yes.
And a no vote means that.
Yeah.
Well, because the Secretary of State is a partisan office,
right,
even though it's not supposed to be.
It is.
It definitely is a partisan office. Well, of course, they're going to coach the language in a manner that they want to see the resolution.
There you go.
You know, let's take Prop 50, for example. A yes vote is a vote for in favor of a constitutional amendment designed to stop salaries, pension benefits, and other rights and privileges for a state legislature who is suspended through a 2/3 vote in the respective chamber of the state legislature. Well, that sounds pretty good, right? I mean, we've got all kinds of guys that are quote-unquote suspended right now, like Leland Yee, Ron Calderon, a couple of other people that are still receiving salaries, some of these guys. You know, one of them even stood up and said, like, he was doing the good thing. I am voluntarily no longer receiving my salary until this is settled. Wow, what a great guy. You're telling me that's not one of the rules already? So, but it, in the language, it sounds very good. A no vote is a vote against the amendment, which continues to allow legislatures to be suspended from legislature activity but requiring sales, pension benefits, and other rights and privileges to still continue to be provided to suspended legislatures. Now, that sounds very negative.
Pension benefits?
Yeah.
So they're getting a pension on top of the salary that they get out of
it. Yes, but a yes vote suspends that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so most people are going to read that and read that language because that's what they have time for. They have time to read the little blurb. They don't have time to read all of the fine print and the actual actioning into it. But at the end of the day, what it really does is hands over the power to the legislature to decide who can and cannot operate in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So you've got to be very careful on things like that. And that's like, what, one of 18 on the ballot this year in California? you look at the gun laws. The legislature passed several gun laws that went to Jerry Brown's desk. At the same time, Gavin Newsom, who has hopefully delusional dreams of being our next governor, had several of those exact same laws put on the ballot. And the legislature got very mad at him because they basically said, hey, look, we run the legislature. We can push through whatever junk that we want. They pushed it through, and now it's on the ballot, and they're going, wait, now all of the work that we've done, the people of California could decide for themselves, and they're mad at Gavin Newsom. De Leon, the Senate Pro Tem, actually said and called Newsom and said, you've got to get these propositions off the ballot. We have done too much work. This is too important an issue to let the voters have their opinion.
So let the people decide. That it's too important for the people to decide.
Yeah.
And who supported in by tax dollars.
Yeah. How delusional are these guys?
Well, that's, they are.
You know, and they don't even really attempt to hide the fact that they're not trying to just get around the system. They're trying to rip it out by its roots. They're trying to run it over with a bulldozer.
Well, they're going to do anything they can and everything they can to get in and remain in power.
Yeah.
At our expense.
Well, there's plenty of those on the ballot this year, too. Personal income tax increases. You know, the $9 million bond. Projects costing more than $2 billion.
And where does all this money go? I mean, truly. It all goes through the general fund? Is that where it's going?
Well, eventually, because of the way that they do their books. $9 billion in education, right? So we'll float bonds, $9 billion in education bonds. And everybody should go, oh, okay, education's well and funded. Oh, wait, now we have a deficit or we have a shortfall in the budget. We've got to reduce education spending. So the $9 billion does actually go into education.
Yeah.
Then they just take something out of the back end. See, they've gotten very wise to that in California. It's very similar to what's going to go on here in Reading with our sales taxes that they're proposing.
Yep.
Will those sales taxes go to public services like police and fire and things like that? Absolutely. Now, will they turn around and take more out of the police and fire budget out the back end?
Yes.
There you go. That's how they do it. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
It's that creative accounting that they're doing.
Yeah, it's three-card Monty. So, you know, there's so many different firearms laws and propositions and things to even get into them. You know, as we get closer to the election, we'll actually have a list and break down, you know, this is this and that is that. But they're causing chaos even just repealing the laws that they made to begin with that made no sense, like the bullet button. You know, now they've banned the bullet button, which they insisted was to be put on there anyways. But they've designed this terrible law with the bullet button that did not work the way that they wanted it to. Everybody told them it wasn't going to work the way that they wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than removing that law, they basically kind of pile onto that law and try and fix it. See, the government never gets rid of a bad idea. They try to massage it or manipulate it or bring it back from the dead and turn it into some kind of zombie. It's terrible what they do, and it never does get fixed because it was a broken concept to begin with.
See, I don't understand how they cannot see that. And with all these gun laws, Are they? Is there anywhere in there where they're going to honor and keep the Second Amendment and just kind of deal with and let it be?
No. That's not
That's
the
California
plan.
Style.
That's not the plan, Wynn. That's not, that is not what they are up to at all.
Well, that certainly would be in Jefferson.
Well, that's I was reading a couple of interesting court cases, and there are a couple that says that the state shall not take a right or a liberty and turn it into a license, permit, or fee. There's actually a Supreme Court case that made that decision, and then another Supreme Court case actually went further and said that if the state does take a right or liberty and turns it into a license, permit, or fee, then the individual is within their right to ignore the licensing, permitting, and fee and operate as if it did not exist.
Okay, well, let's start that program.
I'm kind of looking at those. I haven't gotten all the way through them and exactly what they mean or looked at some of the cases that have come after, but I think that's kind of a powerful deal.
And that's within the state of California?
Any state.
Okay, so then has that been amended by law
okay,
in the state of California?
Think about how many things that you have as a right that you pay a license, permit, or fee on.
Oh, driver's license, car registration,
CCW,
marriage license,
yeah.
CCW.
There's a great many things that...
permit fees.
Yeah.
Permit fees.
Yeah, permit.
Permit fees.
Permit fees. building a house. Doesn't that fall under the right to own property?
Yeah.
Yet you have to buy a permit for this. You have to buy a permit for that. You have to have somebody approve what you're doing to issue you a permit.
Yeah, when you want to build a house and the $60,000 soft cost just for the paperwork.
I know.
Before you even break ground,
yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
It's insanity.
Shasta County style, anyway.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, it's one of the reasons I've personally have gotten so frustrated with arguing the state of Jefferson with some people. You know, people are like, oh, I don't know about this or what about that. And it's like, in any world at this point, would Venezuela be better than California? Not quite, but almost.
Yeah.
I the only thing we're missing from being Venezuela is a couple of food riots and people eating pigeons in the streets. That's about it.
Getting there, yeah.
I think Jerry Brown would make Hugo Chavez proud. Gavin Newsom could be Hugo Chavez's daddy the way he acts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand how anybody can sit still for what the state of California is doing at this point. Even if you're not a supporter of Jefferson, even if you don't think that's the solution, how can you possibly sit still for what's going on in California? How can you be satisfied and okay with that unless you completely have your head...
In the sand.
In the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're using your butt cheeks for ear muffs, people. I don't know what to tell you. And we were running over on our breaks today. So we better sneak off to our next one.
Turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
It's buzzing with bees in Palo Cedro for the 36th annual Honey Bee Festival this weekend in Palo Cedro at Bishop Quinn Catholic Center. It's a family-friendly event featuring local entertainment, a vintage tractor parade, the American Honey Queen, local beekeepers, the famous live bee beard, a kids' fun center, face painting, pony rides. Pancake breakfast will be held both mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and tons of other family events. Over 90 vendors featuring food, arts, and crafts. Don't miss the Honey Bee Festival this weekend in Palo Cedro at the Bishop Quinn Catholic Center. For more information, go to PaloCedroHoneyBeeFestival.com or call 941-1558 for details. Don't miss the buzz. That's this weekend, September 10th and 11th. The family fun starts at 8 a.m.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. Just a little Irish tribute there, a little Scottish tribute to those lost. And I want to apologize to anybody this morning. I know myself, I've been off. I just, you know, I had a plan to kind of get into the propositions and some things, and I just, it's just not there this morning. It being the day that it is. So I want to apologize to our listeners for that, but days like this need to be remembered, and it should take you a step back each and every year, I think about. And I think, you know, as we were just discussing off the air, one of the things that bothers me the most is all the people responsible for it have not been brought to justice.
Exactly.
And I don't think we can or should start the healing process completely for that until all of the people that are responsible are held responsible. But a lot of that goes back to the craziness that could be tied to California and things like that, environmental policies that do not allow us to be energy independent, that, you know, forces us to deal and enable with people that hate us and despise us and things like that, that sells our sovereignty, our liberty, our future, our children's future, our children's inheritance to people that despise us, that hate us, that don't invest in this country, that don't give back.
Well, just think how good it would be for this nation for us to harvest and get the oil and the natural gas and whatever else we need out of our own country to use within our own country's borders and to be able to sell on the market and flip it totally around. And we'd be putting people to work.
To put America first?
Put America first.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? How could we not do that?
Yeah. And instead of, you know, stealing from our children and destroying our government, our culture, our moral fabric and who we are in the name of globalism, mm-hmm. in the name of getting along with everybody who plans on killing us anyways.
Right.
I am so just frustrated and fed up with it. And that's why the state of Jefferson is so important. It's so vital because that's where it has to start. Everybody keeps taking aim at the top, and this cannot be a top-down thing. It has to be at the grassroots level. That's why the state of Jefferson and what we're doing is so vital, is because it is the first time in years and decades in centuries.
Century and a half.
In a century and a half that people are taking direct control of their grassroots government, their local entities, and starting from the ground up going, you will not.
Right.
You will comply to the people, not the people comply to you. You will bend to our will, not the other way around. And they're starting to take that at their city level, at their county level, at their state level. And that's why what we're doing is so important and it's so vital. And it's revolutionary.
And keeping in mind, too, that there are other states watching exactly what Jefferson is doing.
Well, they need to stop watching.
And they're starting to take some action.
They need to.
We have a couple states that are working on it, but they're watching to see what's going on, too, because we are farther into the process than they are by far. So they're learning from what we've done and mm-hmm. what we're yet to do. And then if it applies to their situation, they're copying or doing what they can. And we're willing to help and share, but we're going through it through the forest the first thing with the machete. So we're the first ones chopping it down and going through the process. So
we get to be the pathfinders.
We get to be the pathfinders, and we're making it happen. And we're grateful to do that. It's an honor to do that. And for the people that are out there that are, you know, wanting to jump on board or thinking about it, do it.
Yeah.
And any and everything that people can do to help is welcomed. It's not run by a small committee of people. It is run by all the grassroots people. It's being dealt with by all the people involved, 21 counties.
Yeah.
21 counties. And we have two other counties that are on the fence that are looking to do it, but they're still trying to figure out what they can do for themselves. And they'll get there.
Well, I know that the seed has taken root in Oregon as well.
Yes, it is.
So
it's happening. So just think about that. You know, other states are looking to us for this. So guess what? We owe it to ourselves, our family, and to our fellow Americans, whether they're within our state or in other states, to do this.
Absolutely.
So we need to step it up.
And that comes back into recapturing that spirit of post 9/11.
That's right.
Can we set aside the nonsense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that we can. I hope we can. I pray that we can. I hope that we can find common ground with each other again. It's so vital that we do so. We have to do so. But it just that spirit that existed of the unity and the patriotism, the thought of what can I do for my country?
Right.
What does my neighbor need?
Right.
You know, that
how can I help my neighbor, friends, family, people I don't even know.
Yeah, that spirit of giving and openness and generosity that really defines who America is.
Mm-hmm.
That's Absolutely. Who we are as a people, was that time post 9/11. And those people are trying to steal it from us.
Yes.
And we can't let them try and steal it anymore.
Not allowed.
With that, we have Nick on the line.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Hey, I don't know if you guys are monitoring Breitbart or not, but I just clicked on and a big headline just came
on. We heard it.
Trump has backed up from deporting illegal immigrants. Now he wants to reunite them with their families in their home countries. It's all in the wording, fellas.
I like that. Reuniting.
You know, my wife and I, my lovely wife and I, went to the presentation that Vince Stevens and Gary Cadd put on about CalPERS and the finances.
Yep, I was there.
I was so disappointed. There was only 50 people or so there. I mean, this is a major deal. And what people don't realize is Jefferson can insulate us from some of that, can stop and start over again and do it to represent the citizens.
That's right.
And I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I certainly do. Steve Baird, in his presentation, said when Jefferson starts, our liabilities are going to end at 2013. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Maybe you could elaborate on that, and I hope you guys have a great day.
Well, I can't elaborate on it because I don't know the details, so I would be really remiss in saying anything about it.
Well, then we probably ought to get a hold of him and get it explained to us a little bit earlier, but the way I understood
it
is California has known about our movement, and this is what they're going to do. And pretty much they've just run up the account, and we're not going to stand for that.
That's right.
So I hope you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Nick. You too.
There is precedent of different things, especially the West Virginia separation, where when the state separates, it does have to carry its portion of the existing debt with it.
Right.
But it doesn't get charged interest on that debt. It doesn't increase its payment in debt because the state decides, hey, these guys are leaving sooner or later. Like Nick said, let's run up the tab.
Right.
We kind of stopped the debt clock at 2013.
But how did we do that? And by through what action?
Well, that's through the start of the court case and the things like that.
So that established the timeline in which we would be able to...
Where we can point to a period and go, look, this is when we informed California of our intent to depart.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there's more to it than we can probably get into in the next 8 minutes, and we do have another caller. But that essentially when we started the legal process, it gives us a point to kind of point at and go, look, this is when we informed you of our intent. This is when you knew you refused to engage us. We refused to have any discussion. Yeah, I could explain it more, but we don't really have time. Okay. Mary, are you there?
Good morning,
yes,
Mary.
I'm here.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. Hi, guys. Yes, in what you were saying about how on 9/11 everybody came together, everybody pulled together, we all ran down to give blood. It happened on December 7th as well, 1941. State of Jefferson was already approved. Those guys were in line. They had their officers. Everything was ready to go. And what they did was they dropped everything for our country.
Yep.
You are absolutely right. You were right, Mary.
The patriotism that came together for fathers, sons, brothers, everybody went down there, including the women. And the point is, a lot of them didn't come home. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Very heartfelt and understandably why.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary, very much.
It is. And that's... We were one people. It didn't matter how much money you had in the bank or how much money I had in the bank, or if you were white, black, yellow, red, if you were, you know, if you were Christian, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, Hindu, it didn't matter. We were all Americans at that point.
Yeah.
We were the family that we're intended to be. We're the family that supposed to be. And when America is with itself like that, there's nothing in the world that can stop us.
That's right.
There's nothing.
That's why we need to get this fired back up. I mean,
we do.
And people will get it. And just the passion and the emotion that you feel and the elation when projects are totally successful because of it. So
I think we need to sneak in one last break here real quick, and we'll be back just as quick as possible. The voice in my head, hey, it's telling me that I should stay in my bed, cause it's doing the night. Why can't I sleep when it's doing the night? Cause the fire in my soul, hey, the fire in my soul got me.
lover. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Even when the day comes,
yeah.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
They took all the footage off my TV. Said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger, that's what the experts say. If it was up to me, I'd show it every day. Some say this country's just out looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten?
Have not forgotten.
Never.
Don't forget.
Never will. Never will. I guess we've got another phone call here very quickly.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Hey, listen, Mary brought up a point about 9/11 and how we all came together to give blood at the Red Cross. When I was sitting there watching that and they called out for blood, I said, they don't need blood. There's not going to be any wounded. And sure enough, that was the case. They used that to replenish their blood banks across the United States. Now, I don't have a problem donating blood and replenishing the blood banks, but I do have a problem when you're deceived into getting their way, which they did. When you deliberately deceive somebody, you're lying to them. And with the state of Jefferson, we can put a stop to that. We don't need to put up with that. And that, my friend, is all I have to say. Have a great day.
Okay, well, thank you, Nick.
You know, and I think to start to recapture that spirit of 9/11, I think we as individuals need to be the ones that change. We need to be the ones to go see what your neighbor needs.
Lead by example.
Go through your neighborhood and say, hey, what do you need? What does our neighborhood need? What's wrong? What do we need neighborhood watch? Do we, you know... is the old lady down the street by herself and need help getting her medications and grocery shopping? Who in the neighborhood can help?
Yeah.
Who can? We need to re-engage civic duty. I mean, I know all of us in Jefferson, we're busting our butts on what we do, but we need to start being the change that we want to see in our own neighborhoods and our own cities. And maybe there we need to draw a little blood instead of give some.
There you go.
So, we'll see you next Sunday, and hopefully I'll be making some more sense. Have a good one.
KCNR Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Democratic presidential nominee taken ill at a September 11th event, Connie Lawn reports.
Hillary Clinton may have had a fainting episode during a 9/11 memorial ceremony in New York. Reports say she appeared to buckle and leaned against staff members for support. She then went into her daughter's apartment to rest. Staff members claim she is healthy but was overheated. Donald Trump has often questioned the state of her health. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
President Obama, meanwhile, spoke at a Pentagon 9/11 event this morning. There were also ceremonies in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The hope for ceasefire scheduled to take effect in Syria tomorrow as part of a U.S.-Russian deal has not stopped weekend military action. Syrian opposition groups say attacks in and around the northern city of Aleppo killed at least 45 people yesterday, and Turkey's military says it killed 20...